Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about hidden gem for passive investors in 2025. So for those who have not listened in the past, thank you for joining us. For those who have been here, thank you for continuing your support. So let's first talk about what mortgage note investing is and their role in passive income. And there's two main types of mortgage note investing I'll talk about, which is private lending, meaning you originate the loan and do all that due diligence and then give somebody money where they give you those payment streams. The other is buying loans on the secondary market. So as an investor, and this is really the hidden gem that people didn't realize actually exists, there's this entire market out there of people who have loans that look to sell them. And you can acquire them on a secondary market, which is, for example, buying a loan from me. And oftentimes you can actually get it at a slight discount, which can enhance some of your returns. And again, I started note investing around 2016. I had been in real estate for 20 years approximately, and I didn't know this existed. As mentioned, if you've listened to me in the past, I was upset about it because I was like, wow, why didn't I know this existed? The other thing I want to mention really is, why is this topic relevant for today's investors? And if you've listened to my last podcast, I talked about some of the avenues to get in 2025. And interest rates and property values are at all-time highs. So other avenues of real estate are very challenging. So the popularity of lending in a high interest rate environment when property values are high has more appeal. So we're seeing more and more people get involved in doing this. So as we move into the next segment, I just want to make sure people understand what mortgage notes are before we dive too deep. And for anyone who's owned a house and did not pay 100% cash, you got money from a bank. And a bank gives you two documents, and I didn't realize there are two documents. One is the mortgage and one is the note. The note's a three-page document that says, I owe you, I'm borrowing $250,000 and I'm going to pay you $1,000 a month for the next 30 years at 6% interest. I'm just making numbers. I know that payment is higher than that, but the mortgage is the important piece too. Because the mortgage is what is the ball and chain that secures that note. And I share this because it's a common misconception about notes, and the note holder is a few things. One is it can only be a bank, which is incorrect. You've heard the term seller financing. The other is that mortgage piece and component, and making sure the borrower just doesn't say, hey, I'm using this for this property. You need that signed document. And I'll share an example where this past week, somebody lent somebody $500,000 for some real estate acquisitions, but they never got a mortgage to secure that money to those properties. Guy bought the property. Guy went and got bank loans as well from that properties. Guy essentially kept the money, or who knows what he did with it. But essentially, it's like a credit card. And when you don't secure it, it doesn't attach to anything and everything can move in front of you. And there's no really very limited recourse. So I just wanted to share that piece of information because it also leads into part of the next thing is why mortgage notes are overlooked, because people think it's extremely hard and challenging and there is a lack of education. Now, I 100% agree there is a lack of mainstream education on this asset class. And the education that's out there is typically high expense gurus who talk a good game, but are typically failed investors. And a lot of their education isn't on how to manage and underwrite and go through this asset class. It's all about marketing. Oh, where can you find notes? Where do you get them? How do you use LinkedIn to find mortgage notes? Or how do you use XYZ to find mortgage notes? And they make it sound and give you the perception of it's extremely complex. So you got to go to them because they're the only ways to teach you. And I'll be honest, I have a membership group with a dozen people in it. And the one thing I typically tell people is that finding assets is actually easy. Problem is people don't like the ones they're finding because everyone goes from the same sources. They spend way too much time and effort trying to find a needle in a haystack. I get billions of dollars a month in assets. I share those lists with people. People can get on those lists as well. A lot of times, oh, everyone else is seeing this, so I want to try and find one that's a niche or something interesting. So oftentimes, it gets overlooked. It also gets overlooked because it's an alternative investment. There's more traditional investments, stocks, real estate, and other asset classes. And this also can lead to some conflict if the borrower stops paying, just like if a tenant stops paying. So it, again, goes back to give some additional complexity and also is viewed as a high risk, where originating loans I view as a little more risky, being a private lender, than buying loans on the secondary market. And anyone who ever watched any of our videos understands that we like to buy loans that are like 10 years old. And what happens over time, and if you want to get involved in notes, you look at those loans that have been around for a while, what happens over time? They pay down the principal and their equity goes up. Which leads to the next thing I want to talk about is, what are the benefits in mortgage note investing? Why do you even want to do this? And this is really what it boils down to. Because passive income, it's not a equity play. And what I mean by that is, when I buy real estate, I'm not in as much as the cash flow. I want that build equity so the value increases over time. Mortgage notes are the opposite. Just a fact. People, as they pay you back, are paying down that loan. But you should be getting consistent cash flow as part of it. I also view it as lower volatility compared to stocks, traditional real estate. Here's the example I like to use. I use myself as an example. I've been in my house 10 plus years. If home prices go up, they go down. Does that impact me paying my mortgage? Nope. If you own real estate and it goes down, it could limit your exit strategy. Really, mortgage note boils down to the person's ability to pay. And what impacts their ability to pay? Their job, their financial situation. But also, another benefit is, it does provide the opportunity to provide decent returns with risk-adjusted profiles. What I mean by that? You can buy loans or originate loans, get 8 to 12%, which is probably better than what you're going to get in real estate for cash flow right now. You have the control and the flexibility. Choose the note, what you're looking for. And the analogy I always like to use is, you own nothing but control everything as the bank. And go drive through any major city, and who typically owns the largest building? Bank. Why? They really don't own anything. They just control everything. And they're able to give out all different types of loans. Granted, they can create out of thin air, which is a whole other topic. But being in that side of the business, being a banker, isn't a bad thing. Well, it's not a bad thing. There's also risks, pitfalls within the space, but they're easily mitigated. What's the number one pitfall everyone's concerned of? What if this person stops paying? This is, again, why you secure it to real estate. And if they stop paying, you have the real estate as collateral that you can go after. A lot of times that all can be avoided, or some of it, I shouldn't say all, with due diligence and working with experienced professionals in the space that understand and know how to mitigate risk. And most of it is common sense. What I mean by that? Share a story of, I had someone yesterday want us to give them a loan. And we do some private lending as well. And this person had beautiful property, probably worth $900,000 down in Georgia. Owes about $600,000 and needs financing really quick because they're moving to Pennsylvania. And sometimes things just don't smell right, I guess. It's like they don't pass that sniff test. So we asked a bunch of questions. They're like, oh, we just want to use private lending. We know we're going to pay more, but it's just faster. And I've seen situations where people have millions of dollars, yeah, honestly, an extra 20,000 to them, unfortunately, it doesn't matter. So they'll do whatever's the fastest. Typically, homes like this kind of has me scratch my head when someone goes down that path. So we do some due diligence, come to find out. Yeah, the guy was in foreclosure last year. He missed his payments, blames everybody else, not his fault, his accountant, his this person, that person. And now you look at it from the standpoint of it's a very different situation, but it was really common sense. And the fact of, it didn't pass the sniff test. Why is this person willing to pay an extra $20,000 in interest over a course of a year because of speed on a $600,000 loan? If it was $1,000 or $2,000, okay, $20,000. Would you pay $20,000 extra for time? Probably not. The other avenue that has risk in this space is about diversification. And here's a big misconception. People think you need a lot of money to get in this space and that you have to go buy expensive loans. I've had a $30,000 loan in the past on a $200,000 property. And this was 5-6 years ago, so $200,000 property is very different than it was today. So it does have a lot of misconceptions in regards to getting into the space as well. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@7einvestments.com to learn more. Thank you. So now, people, a lot of times when we start talking about mortgage note investing, they get really intrigued. Like, I want to do this. This is really interesting because, you know, people might have $50,000 sitting on the sidelines, which is enough to get in space, and not want to go buy a rental, especially it could be a condo or a townhouse that might not be as desirable, and they might be in an area of California or certain parts of Texas, Florida. You know, I'm in Washington, D.C. area. $50,000 down payment doesn't really get you far. So what can you do? Now, when I talk about mortgage note investing and talk about share the stories and everything that goes on, people get excited. So I want to just spend a minute and talk to people about how do you get started in mortgage note investing. It all starts with education and research. Resources, books, free courses. YouTube is just a gold mine. You know, I've got hundreds of videos on YouTube. You don't need to pay for an expensive course to get started. Plenty of information on mortgage note investing online. What I did and got started is I was actually listening to podcasts. And one year someone was talking about all the, it was holiday time and they were thanking everybody. So I paused and I just started writing down all these names. And I started Googling these people and then researching them. I was like, oh, this person does this. This person does that. And I set up phone calls with them. And then you ask them, got some basically free tips from them, and then ask them where else to go find more information. So by listening to one person, now I wrote down five names, and those five names each gave me two people. Next thing you know, I've got 15 people I've talked to about where to get more information and also not spend thousands and thousands of dollars on it. And that led me to networking, attending conferences, and joining some investor groups. Now, I did join a group. It was at the time, I think, $50 a month, or it wasn't a lot. And to me, yeah, spend $50, $100, like my membership is $100 a month. To me, I think it's worth it, or any other group that's like $100 a month. If you're spending $10,000 for a course or a weekend, flat out, you're never going to learn anything in a weekend. And also what it is you learn, you don't even know if the stuff you're writing down is the important stuff. You might be writing stuff down that you think is important, but actually you missed the more important point. So plenty of things. Give an idea, it took me 6 to 8 months before I bought my first loan, because I want to be educated. Now, some people say that's analysis paralysis. Me, I'm an engineer, and I wanted to understand all the risk because I was taking money to use that I had saved, that talked to my family about, that I want to go do this. I wanted to make sure I'd be successful at it. Now, one of the major avenues that people also have to understand is this is not passive. And that is, I think, the most important component is it can be at a period of time, but when you get started, it's not passive. You need to be active. Think about having a property manager managing a property. You still need to have involvement. You still need to be making decisions. I think note investing is better because you don't worry about toilets, termites, tenants, the roof leaks, not your problem. But understand, anybody who sells you on, oh, it's 100% passive, they're full of it. It's not. The only passive way is if you were going to invest in a fund. Now, we run fund for open to accredited and non-accredited investors. And start with $5,000. That's passive. You do your due diligence on us. You invest. We send you emails on case studies and what's going on. But there's not, you have to lift a finger. The only finger you have to lift is when we email you your tax forms or you want some information. And that's what you got to read. So again, important to understand, if you get started, it is not passive. As we start to wrap up, I do want to roll in one last thing because I think it's important, because this is a question we get asked a lot too, is people get excited about mortgage note investing. And here's another reason why I think people should get excited, is how does it fit into your portfolio? Especially, I'm a big proponent of having a diversified portfolio. Now, what's the difference between this and investing in oil and gas, a rental property, a REIT, multifamily syndication? What's the difference? Pros, cons. The pros, I'd say, is again, barrier to entry, cost is less. And it is not as volatile, believe it or not, to interest rates, to the stock market, the housing pricing. Now, if you underwrite a good loan and get a good down payment, the value of the home can go down, but it shouldn't have a significant impact. Interest rates. If you're, buying a loan at a discount, we target a yield. So let's say I'm targeting 10%. We target more, but I'm targeting 10%. Interest rates go from 5 to 7, you're still at 10. They go from 7 to 5, you're still at 10. They go from 7 to 5, good chance that person might refinance and pay you off, which isn't a bad thing if you bought on the secondary market at a discount. So it is not, to me, is volatile or correlated to the stock market, which last year, great returns in the stock market, and I'm thankful for it. My 401k is thankful for it. Do I think that's going to continue? No. I mean, I believe in everything moves towards a mean, and I think that'll happen. So if it does, what's something to diversify that portfolio? Mortgage notes. The other, and this is something that I think people just need to be aware of, there really isn't any tax advantage in mortgage note investing. But I think that is, granted, there isn't the advantages, but I think it being non-correlated to other asset classes, I'd rather be non-correlated and not have the tax advantage. I saw someone the other day want to buy a property at a loss just because they're like, oh, because I can depreciate it. I'm like, that's dumb. I'm like, if I'm buying anything, I want to make money on it. I'm not going to buy something to lose money just because I can depreciate it. I don't think people understand when you depreciate something, all you're doing is deferring, meaning your basis goes down, but when you go to sell, it's based off that other basis. So eventually you got to pay the piper back. I think a lot of people don't understand that in real estate. No, you don't have to worry about it. It's interest income. And if you're buying a loan, if you're investing in our fund, potentially could have some advantages, but talk to your CPA. But if you go buy a loan or write one, it's interest income. So it's taxed at ordinary income rates. So downside, positive, again, it's not as volatile. So wrap up this episode and share the recap of why I think they are the hidden gem in 2025. And again, I go back to non-correlated to real estate prices, to interest rates, to other asset classes. Really, they're out all on their own. So if you're interested, I encourage you to do more research, go on YouTube, listen to my old podcast that I had, used called Good Deeds Note Investing Podcast, share a ton of stories. I can't tell you how many webinars we've done on this topic. I'm also happy to reach out to me. I'll provide you the resources. I'll provide you where to get education, where to find the education. To me, any type of education I provide, it's not my business. That's not where I get revenue. For me, I enjoy helping people. So reach out. Happy to help you. And if you also want to set up a call, feel free to reach out. More than happy to set up a call with people as well. Any questions, feel free to reach out. Again, you can go to 7einvestments.com or all my information's in the show notes. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast, and I will catch you on the next one. Thank you, everyone.
Thank
you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.